I'm not quite sure why I said yes to this, because I'm plenty tired already. But Pastor asked me, since I was trying to fit this theme in with songs and directing it, that if I'd like to give a brief challenge at the end, and that's what I plan to do, give a brief challenge. But as this is a different kind of service, obviously, I'm going to approach this a little differently as well. And so we're going to be a little interactive with this. So be prepared to think. All right, I've done enough for this whole week, so I'm going to have you contribute a little bit as we go through this. We're obviously focusing on God's presence. And I want to just look briefly, referring back to Psalm 71 that was read for us. That's a pretty long psalm, 24 full verses throughout that. We're not going to look necessarily verse by verse or develop it in order. But I do want to see a few themes through there, because there are many implications of God's presence throughout Scripture, right? We see this throughout the Psalms and throughout Scripture itself. It's inescapable. Where shall I flee from your presence? Psalm 139. It's unending. I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28. It's beneficial. For me, it is good to be near God. Psalm 73. It's rewarding. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Psalm 140. It's protective. In the cover of your presence, you hide me from the plots of men. Psalm 31. It's comforting. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. And as we focused at the beginning of this, it's joyful. Psalm 100 says, come into his presence with singing. And that's probably how we know this more, right? I reference Psalm 16. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so that's kind of how we think of his presence, fullness of joy. Well, when you look through and read through Psalm 71, there wasn't necessarily a lot of that joy, was there? But right in the middle of that psalm, how's he begin it? In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Very first verse. The very last verse says, and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. So it's, my refuge in you. You are my refuge. I'm going to talk about that help because it's been faithful. It's been proven. And so from beginning to end, and right smack dab in the middle, verse 12, there's this plea, O God, be not far from me. Which to me says that both the refuge and the help are all about his presence. It's all about the fact that no matter what, he could feel near to God. That he felt near enough to ask for help, to be his refuge. And he felt near enough to know that at the end of my days, I'm going to talk about all the help you've given. It's all about his presence. But in this psalm, we don't see joy, do we? We see things like cruelty, injustice, affliction, and pain. Those are bombarded on the psalmist here. We're not necessarily given who this psalmist is. But we do know it's written by someone who's already lived a very full life. This is toward the end of his days. And he's considering the past and contemplating the present and craving that future. Because then we see, counterbalance against all these things, we see words like refuge and rock and fortress and hope. So no matter what's going on around us, if we experience that affliction, if we're in pain, sometimes emotional, sometimes physical, we can count on his nearness, on his presence, to be our refuge and our rock and our fortress and our hope. This is almost kind of like this situation that the psalmist is in is kind of a microcosm of a quote by Martin Luther. He said this: "It would be a good thing if young people were wise and old people were strong." But then he finished it this way: "But God has arranged better." Wouldn't that be nice? If the ones who were strong had wisdom, and the ones who had wisdom had strength. That's not necessarily how it works. And so here a psalmist at the end of his days with wisdom is craving that strength that he once had, but is maybe giving those who are strong a little wisdom to live by. He's borrowing from his experience. He's even borrowing from other psalms, actually. Throughout this psalm, there are quotes from Psalm 22 and 31 and 35 and 70. There's even a reference to Exodus 15 in here. So he's taking bits and pieces of his own life and of Scripture, and he's saying, here, learn from this. So let's do that today. And this isn't a bad thing, just rehearsing previous wisdom, is it? No, Alexander McLaren said this: "But imitative words are nonetheless sincere, and new thankfulness may run into old molds without detriment to its acceptableness to God and preciousness to men." So let's look at these old molds with new thankfulness, and may these meditations be acceptable to God, and may they be precious to us. Here's where it gets a little different. We're going to read through this psalm again, and I'm going to highlight some examples, but you're going to give me more. I have two main points that I want to learn from this: that his presence is a proven reality, and that our response should be a personal responsibility. I would put it this way: this proven reality is that he delivers, he cares, and he guards. There are probably many more ways you could put these in here, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read through this psalm again, and as we're reading through, think about these three themes: he delivers, he cares, and he guards. I'm going to give you an example of each of those, and then I'm going to ask you for some examples of each of those. Here are my examples. He delivers. In verse 3, he says, "You have given the command to save me." How amazing is that? An almighty, authoritative God says he will be saved. He will be delivered. I'm going to protect him. That stands out to me, that a supreme God would look at a fallible person like me and give the command throughout that covers the whole universe and says, save him. He cares. I look at verse 7. "I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge." That portent is a kind of a like an omen, a sign of bad things to come. What they were doing is they were looking at his afflictions and saying, yeah, there's a reason for that. He's got what he's coming to him, or man, there's just bad things ahead. Because look at everything that's happened. But in all of that, no matter what everyone else thinks, he's saying, no, but you're my strong refuge. You care for me. In spite of everything that's going on and what other people might think. And then he guards, verse 9. forsake me not when my strength is spent. This psalmist is obviously talking at the end of his life, when his physical strength is waning. But I feel this a lot. My strength is spent a lot. And I know that he won't forsake me. I know his presence will strengthen me. So those are some things that stood out to me. As we read through this, look for just a phrase, even a word that stands out to you as well, with the proven reality of his presence that he delivers and cares and guards. Let's read together again Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn, and grace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed, and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. He delivers, he cares, he guards. How? What speaks to you in that psalm? And don't think that now lunch is on you. I mean, yes, I know the more you talk, the later we get down there, but we'll get through this. Just a phrase, just a word. What tells you that he delivers or he cares or he guards? He delivers from those who seek his hurt. They're brought to shame. Someone else. From before birth, he knew. From everlasting to everlasting, he's God. Before our birth, his strength is ours. We've leaned on him. Excellent.
Your deeds of salvation all the day, he's praising him. He delivers.
He delivers all day. Deeds of salvation, praiseworthy all day, all year, all life. Tom.
My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, my soul also.
He has redeemed. Amen. And that's cause for praise. And we're going to get to that in the second half. So you could probably use that again.
comfort me on every side. He cares.
Yep. There's not a detail that he does not superintend. He comforts me everywhere. All right, let's move on then from the proven reality. We see it throughout. There's many different ways that this is repeated throughout there. But even more, we see this personal responsibility that's talked about in here. Yes, he's our rock. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. He's our hope. He delivers and he cares and he guards. But then what do we do in response? We trust him consistently. We're faithful as he is faithful. We praise him abundantly for everything that he's done and that he is doing and that we know that he will. And we declare his message powerfully. We share. Just like the choir program. That one song might have seemed really out of place. With all those others, cast your care, gentle voice, be still my soul. And then awake a joyful song. Because we have a powerful message to share despite the trials and troubles that we go through. Because his presence solves it all. Trust, praise, declare. Here are my examples. I used Kevin's. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. My whole life, and even before that, my trust can only be placed in him because he is in control. Praise abundantly. The choir knows where I'm going with this because I talked about this in one of our little devotionals. Verse 14. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. There's no stop. My hope is constant and my praise is even more. And to declare powerfully, there's so many of these in here. I mean, I want to give you a chance, but there are so many that really jump out to me. But how about this one in verse 16? With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I don't care what they say. Those accusations don't mean anything. All that derision and scorn, they're trying to put me to shame. Well, you know what I have? I have the mighty deeds of the Lord. That's my message. Top that. Deal with that. We declare him powerfully. I'm not going to read 71 again. All right, that was a long read. I am going to give you a few seconds to pore over this because there's lots of this stuff in here. So take just a few seconds, a minute, look through here, and maybe my mind went right to this because we've read it twice already, and I've been thinking about this, and here is how this challenge to trust him consistently speaks to me. Or, this phrase about the abundant praise, I want to exemplify that. Or here's how I should be declaring powerfully his message, especially in the face of those who would challenge him. Just take a few seconds. I've been trying to talk so you have those seconds to look through and share. Amen. Our mouths can be filled with so many other useless, idle, vain things. But it's not just his praise, but his glory, the reason that he needs to be praised. Great. Ben.
Oh God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation.
I love that, right? Like this person at the end of his life is saying, listen, I know I'm old, I'm gray, my strength is gone. But be with me until I can share all this with someone else, with the next generation. Tell everyone to come about you. I love that. Did you have a hand? Yeah.
19, your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? Praise abundantly.
That's right. And that's that echo back to Exodus 15:11. Who, O Lord, is like you among the gods? That's a rhetorical question, right? There's no sufficient answer there. It is He and He alone who deserves that praise, because His righteousness, I think there's also something talked about, your righteousness alone I will show. Oh yeah, verse 16, I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. That's the only thing I'm going to bring to the table. Anything else?
You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again, trusting consistently.
Yep, that's, where was that? What verse is that again?
20.
Verse 20. Look at how the sovereignty of God is in here. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities. You've allowed this. Why? So that you can revive me. So that you bring me up. Not that I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Not that I made it through. No, so that your righteousness alone I'll declare. Because I can say, who's a God like you? No one else. Anything else as we close? Karen? With the harp, with the lyre. It's not just, I'm going to talk about Him. I'm going to sing about Him. I'm going to praise Him. It's going to be shown in all the different aspects of our lives. Not just our voice, but our talents and our skills, our everyday activities even.
What we say about Him is important. Verse 15, speak about His righteousness and His salvation. We can talk about a lot of things. Better stay on track.
That's right. And how often will we do that? Well, all the day. Why? Because their number is past my knowledge. I'll just keep listing them off. I'm just keep going and going and going. And I know I'll never run out. That's why it's all the day. I hope this is a blessing to you. I always love when we come up to camp for that praise service, giving you a chance to share how God speaks to you through Scripture. As we have focused on the power of His presence, may we always remember, no matter what the circumstances we're in, that He'll deliver. No matter how alone we feel, that He cares. That no matter how dangerous the foes may seem, or persistent, He guards. And as a result, let us always trust. And praise even more, and share His message powerfully. Because as we center our hearts and our minds on a supreme and sovereign God, and draw near to Him, we will truly find that in that presence is fullness of joy. We're going to close by singing the last verse of that nearer, still nearer. Talked about some things back and forth. That's what we're going to do now. It's number 382 in your hymnal again. If you want to join us, please stand together as we sing this.